Cause you're a sky, cause you're a sky full of stars. I'm gonna give you my heart.
Our scripture for today comes from Luke, the first chapter, beginning with verse 39, and it's about Mary's visit to Elizabeth. Elizabeth is our Advent star for the day. Hear these words. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud voice, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And why? Why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry and with good things and sent the rich away empty. Oh, he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our hope moment today, my wonderful hope moment, is all of our youth that we have currently participating in the Madrigals. Did any of you get an opportunity to go to the Madrigals this weekend? Oh, you are some blessed people. Next year, we want to see more hands. I decided after Friday night, we need to have the Madrigals come every year. We'll just put it on the calendar. But right now, I think at the head table, if you go to the Madrigals, you will see at least 7 Highland Hope kids at the head table. And then we have another 13 or so kids who participate in the chamber, the choir, the actors, and all of those other supporting cast members. So I wanted us to just celebrate. Do we have any of the Madrigals or choir members or chamber members here? If you would, just stand for a moment. Can you still stand? You got one more performance. One more, okay. We had some in early services. Is that all this here right now? Yeah, Dylan's gone. He was in the nursery. Is he still working today? He worked earlier. But Carly, you guys blessed our hearts. You're just awesome. Let's give it up for all of our kids. Whew. And you got to hear our children singing this morning, so I call them the future Madrigal singers, all right? So God bless you, Eric, and the parents who helped support having our children here this morning. Weren't they just awesome? Praise God. Well, I'm not going to take too long today. I know you're looking at the clock. Oh, it's 11:38. We're supposed to be out here 11:45. Not going to happen. God bless you. But let me tell you, today we start our story. It is Elizabeth's story, and it is Mary's story. Remind you who Mary is. Mary was from Nazareth, an unimportant, unincorporated, insignificant, nowhere place. She was a nobody from no place, engaged to a carpenter, not a master carpenter, a nobody carpenter, almost 42 generations removed from King David. Mary was a peasant girl with no royal pedigree, pledged to Joseph, chosen by God. But she also was caught up in a life life-threatening dilemma. Sometimes we forget that being chosen by God does not mean being chosen for an easy task. It doesn't mean being chosen for a lot of material gain and ease and, you know, security. Being chosen by God, if you go back and look at first century church, often meant making the ultimate sacrifice. So even though Mary had said yes to God, she was still a frightened little girl. Even though she'd said yes to God, yes to following his will and call on her life, she was a scared little girl who was alone. She had no place to go. She couldn't go tell her parents. She couldn't go tell Joseph. She, according to law, the law would have demanded her life, that she be stoned to death. So there she is, alone. Gabriel shows up, drops the word on her. She says yes, and then she's left alone. And somewhere in the midst of her fear and anxiety, she paused just long enough to remember the rest of Gabriel's message. Your relative, Elizabeth, is also going to have a child. In those initial moments and days, she didn't remember that. She just remembered that her life was on the line. She was like you and I, concerned about how she was going to move forward. Who could she tell? What would Joseph think? Would he demand her life for unfaithfulness? But in a pause, in a moment, she remembered an important part of the message. Which Gabriel was saying, you're not alone. There's somebody else that is caught up in this new thing that God's about to do. So why didn't Mary already know about this miraculous event that was going to take place in Elizabeth's life? Well, the Bible doesn't tell us much about Mary and Elizabeth's relationship. It's not like, you know, they did text messages and emailed each other every day. And, you know, they didn't do social media. And there probably were no family reunions going on or anything like that. The Bible just simply tells us that it was a relative, which sort of gives us the indication that it may have been a distant relative that Mary really didn't see that much. But when she remembered the messenger, in her mind she had to decide, now, was I dreaming? Was that a premonition? Or did that really happen to me? I'm going to follow through with what Gabriel said. So she makes her way. She decides to go see Elizabeth. But remember, Elizabeth, when she learned that she was going to have a child in her old age, for the first 5 months of her pregnancy, Elizabeth lived in seclusion. Why? Because Elizabeth probably was like most women even in our day today. This was probably not her first pregnancy. She probably had suffered loss, miscarriages, disappointment over and over again. It wasn't a message that she wanted to share for fear that she wouldn't carry this child to full term either. So although she was a person who would normally have been in community, her story is different. She is in seclusion. Elizabeth was the wife of Zechariah. Something had happened to him. He could no longer speak. So people, when they encountered Zechariah, they would assume that he had been cursed by God. She didn't need to hear that. And then to hear her say that she was pregnant in her old age, she didn't need to hear the static, the noise that her townswomen would have been saying about her. Unlike Mary, Elizabeth was not only a descendant of the priestly tribe of Aaron, Elizabeth was married. She was married to a priest. She was well-educated. She had social standing, and she had prestige of being married to one of 18,000 priests. Even so, because of her personal journey with loss, grief, and abuse for having been barren, when Elizabeth was chosen by God, she went into seclusion. She hid away in silence with her husband. This silence, this seclusion, this isolation, imagine being with your spouse in a lone desert spiritually kind of place for 5 months, almost six, without hearing another voice. Now, how would y'all like to do that, huh? Just live with your spouse all by yourself? No, you couldn't handle it. We're a whole different breed of spouses today, huh? But imagine that. No one else came to their home. I'm not even sure it was their home, because the Bible said she went to Zechariah's house, which may mean that they had another place away from everybody else, not necessarily connected to the town, but a house where they could get away for this season. Yeah. So when Mary makes her way to see Elizabeth, something awesome happens. While we don't know of their long-term relationship, what we know is that God made an announcement to Zechariah that was being fulfilled. Zechariah shared it with Elizabeth. She's living the message. And now God has sent a message to Mary. Mary is carrying her message. And get this, she's carrying it in complete silence and isolation for about 9 to 10 days, because that's how long it's going to take her to walk to Elizabeth's house in silence with a secret that is deadly. She shows up, this poor peasant girl, at her rich cousin's house. Now, the fact that Mary was willing to seek out her distant relative is in itself an act of faith. At the time of the meeting, Elizabeth was in her 6th month of living God's chosenness, and yet she was isolated. So Elizabeth's needs and Mary's needs collide with each other on a divine plan, and there is a divine encounter that takes place. Notice what happens when Mary shows up at the door. Now, I don't know how she greeted her. She could have considered her to be her great aunt or auntie, which would not be uncommon to say, "Aunt Elizabeth," as she entered their house. What we know is, however she greeted her, the very sound of Mary's voice caused the child in Elizabeth's womb to leap for joy. And the very sound of her voice, the Bible says, Elizabeth was filled up with the Holy Spirit. Someone was entering her house who could identify with her isolation, who could identify with her seclusion, who could identify with her blessing that was also her burden. She shows up. And what does Elizabeth say to her? Elizabeth says to her, "Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Elizabeth becomes the first person in the Bible to address Jesus as the Lord. And guess what? John, while in his mother's womb, becomes the first witness to this miracle that God is about to do. And what happens? This young girl, teenager, showed up desperate, showed up with anxiety, showed up filled with fear. But when she received Elizabeth's greeting to her, all of a sudden, Elizabeth's words confirms to Mary that God has indeed elected her, and she is blessed among all women. God is about to do a new thing. Ah, so it is a divine encounter. God is about to do a new thing in the world. A new thing, not just through Mary and Elizabeth, but this new thing is going to change the whole world. This new thing is going to turn the world of inferior and superior upside down. What God had begun in Mary and Elizabeth, can I tell you, he's still doing it today. Ah, you see, before Mary's divine election by God and her divine encounter with Elizabeth, do you know who Mary was? She was just a faceless part of the poor masses that were living under the oppression of the Roman government. And now all of a sudden, as we will find in her story with Joseph, she finds herself becoming important because the Roman government decides to do its first ever census. Mary was one of those faceless number of masses that nobody paid attention to. Her little town of Nazareth was a nobody kind of place. Matter of fact, in order to be a part of the census, they would have to make the long trip into Bethlehem. She didn't count. She was a nobody until her election. And until Elizabeth confirmed for her that she was blessed among women, Mary didn't even know the great significance of being chosen by God. Perhaps you've lived a little bit of Mary's story. Maybe you know what it's like to be a nobody, to be counted only in April. Somebody say amen. You know, IRS. Then all of a sudden, what do we have? I look at my life, and my life is filled up with numbers. I got a Social Security number. I got a telephone number. I got a license number. You just like Mary. What you got? Who knows you by name? You see, I grew up in a little place like that. We call that a nobody place. That's my address, where I grew up. That's my window, the bedroom window right there where I grew up. And let me tell you, when I grew up, just right in front of our house was just an old dirt road. We were unincorporated, unimportant. Nobody came to see about us. Matter of fact, we policed ourselves. We didn't have police. If you needed the police, you had to wait and call the county sheriff and hear, well, you can handle that. That's usually what they said. You can take care of that. You just policed yourself. We were just out there in the country in the boonies. But you know what? Like Mary, once every 4 years, politicians showed up. That's how we went from a dirt road to a paved road. One day we got smart and said, wait a minute, they're coming out here every 4 years. They're coming to see how many votes they can stack up. Sometimes you will just be a number. You're not on the radar. But for our little old place, it wasn't a town, it wasn't a village. We were just unincorporated. But we counted every 4 years. Other than that, we were left to ourselves. That was Mary's story. She was not counted. That is the story of the poor today. How often do we stop and think about the poor? Well, I want to just tell you how it works out in our area, in our neighborhood. Thanks to our mission team and Tanya Yetter, right? Tanya said, okay, we do all this stuff for the poor. You know when we do it, don't you? Between Thanksgiving and Christmas. So Tanya decided in February we need to take care of the poor. Because you know what? In February they go off the radar. But Tanya said, you know, in February they're going to still need hats. They're going to still need gloves. They're going to still need coats. They're going to still need food. The poor ought to count every day. Mary was in that number that nobody counted. Many of us have grown up just in the number. Nobody knows us by name. But God has a way of sending an Elizabeth into our lives. And I want to tell you, when Elizabeth and Mary met, Elizabeth was on a mission. She may not even know that she had a second mission. But her mission was to confirm for Mary that she had indeed been elected by God. So what does she say to Mary? She says, blessed is she who believes. This young girl, this young lady, she had enough faith to believe that what the messenger said to her, it was going to come to fruition. She didn't know how it was going to come to fruition. She didn't know what she was going to do. She didn't know how she was going to make it, because God works that way. He doesn't give you step 1, 2, 3, and 4. He asks you to take one step. So many times we want step 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and then we want to write the prologue on it. That's not how God works. God gives you one step. One invitation. He asks one thing of you. You know what that one thing is? Do you have the faith to believe? And that's all Mary had. She had the faith to believe. She was still fearful. She had the faith to believe. She was still alone. She had the faith to believe. She was still isolated. But she had the faith to believe that what God said was going to happen was going to take place in and through her life. And I want to tell you something right now. When she heard Elizabeth say, blessed are you among women, and how is it that the mother of my Lord should be standing at my door, even though Elizabeth had all the prestige. She had every reason to be prideful. She humbled herself, and she saw Elizabeth, saw in Mary what Mary had not yet seen in herself, the ability and the capacity to follow through on God's word. So she sang a song. She sang a song because all of a sudden, she wasn't in it by herself. All of a sudden, somebody else knew her pain, knew the burdens, but they could also say to her, amidst your burdens, you are still blessed. You are blessed among women. So she sang her song, oh, my soul. Eric and I sang it this morning. My soul does what? It magnifies. See, she couldn't come up with a bigger word. That would say gigantus. I don't know. Gigantic. How much bigger can you get and magnify? That would have been the word she would have chosen. My soul magnifies the Lord, and not only my soul, but my spirit rejoices. Oh, my goodness. Why? She said, because God could have chosen any of the rich girls. He could have chosen any of the more beautiful girls. But oh, he stopped by my place. And he chose the lowliness of his servant. And she said, surely, even though I will carry this burden, I don't know how I'm going to tell Joseph yet, but surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed. Can I tell you something here? Mary's song should be the theme song of all of God's children. All of us, at some point in our lives, we felt like nobody. We felt like nobody cared. Some of us have done things in our past, and we sat in church on Sunday and said, hey, if they knew what I used to do, they wouldn't even sit beside me. But because of Jesus, Mary says, you may have been a nobody and a nothing from a nowhere kind of place, but because of the child of Mary's womb, today you are somebody. You are God's kid. You see, the message wasn't just for Mary. It wasn't just for Elizabeth. Do you understand? You are the source of God's greatest joy now. You. Mary's song is your song. I wonder, is your soul rejoicing today? Can you magnify the Lord? Are you believing the lies that society tells you? Oh, yeah, the Christmas is the time of lies. They call it holiday. You see your staff wearing the button today, say it's okay to say Merry Christmas because we want to keep Christ in Christmas. Holiday tells you that you're not good enough. Holiday tells you you don't have enough. Holiday tells you your address is insignificant. It tells you that the car you drive is not good enough. It tells you your education doesn't take you high enough. But Christmas tells you Christ is with you, and there is no greater person that you can be than to be his son, to be his daughter. Mary's song was meant for you. And my prayer for you today is that when Eric closes us out today, I hope you're going to close us out with my soul, my soul. When they close us out today, I hope you sing that song anew, because you were worth the life, death, and resurrection of the Savior. When God looks at you, he don't look at the mistakes of your past. I want to blow you out of the water. He don't even look at the mistakes that you made before you got to church this morning. When God looks at you, he sees you through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And he says to you what Elizabeth said to Mary. Tim Wynn, blessed are you among men. Huh? He looks at you, Katie. Blessed are you, Katie, among women. He looks at little old Mayrose, blessed are you among the children. He looks at each one of us and he calls us all by name. And he declares, my friends, live your blessing. Not because the world approves, but because your God loves you that much. My prayer for you this week is that you will live in the blessing and allow the joy of God to be in your life and like Elizabeth. Let it just overshadow you. So that when others encounter you, can you imagine just walking up, begging, and being so excited that it brings joy to her heart? That's what God wants us to do for each other. When we greet each other, oh, Janelle, I can't wait to see you. I want the joy of the Lord to just run rampant so that Robert will know, every time I see you, I want my hug. Every time I see you, I am blessed by you, Chris. You bless my heart. Yes, you do. To God be the glory. May his joy find you this week. And may every person who crosses your path be lit up by the love and joy that comes from your heart. May it be so. In Jesus' name.